Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the Lord's followers together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from heaven, like the sound of a mighty wind. It filled the house where they were meeting. Then they saw what looked like fiery tongues moving in all directions, and a tongue came and settled on each person there. The Holy Spirit took control of everyone, and they began speaking whatever languages the Spirit let them speak. Good morning. The first Pentecost must have been an absolutely exhilarating event, a complete surprise to those disciples, those followers of Jesus who were in that room. And we're going to think a little bit about them today, about the gift of the Holy Spirit and what it meant for their lives and for ours. My name's Ian. I'm one of the lay leaders, and David is going to lead a communion service in the latter part of this service. This is a combined service, all age, children welcome, and we recognise there'll be noise and confusion, and that's just part of the fun of being part of God's family. Particular warm welcome if you're new. There will be refreshments in the hall, in the Grove Room at the end, at the back of church. And there will be prayer available at the end of this service in the prayer corner. Rob and Jill Thomas will be there, ready to pray for people, pray with people if they wish.
Somebody's birthday today. Who is it? The church, yes. All of us. Today the church was born. Happy birthday. Today used to be called Whit Sunday. What does that mean? I shall need to ask only people over 80 this question. Why Whit Sunday? What does it mean? White Sunday. Clean Sunday. Joyful Sunday. I had my only red garment, which was my jumper on, and it's lovely to see lots of you here with red and fire. But also white is appropriate, so I took my red jumper off because I was about to boil. And it's a day to remember that God has cleansed us too. Let's sit.
It's time for our Bible reading, which has a number of voices this morning, so we'll just let them get into their positions.
The reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1.
Listen, 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 listen.
It was the day of Pentecost,
and all the followers of Jesus were in one place.
Suddenly,
there was the sound of a rushing wind.
Whoosh, 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 whoosh.
A violent rushing wind from heaven.
Whoosh, 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 whoosh.
And flames of fire appeared on everyone's head. And everyone began to talk in other languages.
Matter. And everyone
could understand each other.
Bonjour.
There were lots of visitors in Jerusalem from all over the known world.
They were amazed at what was happening and rushed up to find out more.
There were Parthians, Medians, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, Pontians, Asians, Phrygians, Pamphylians, Egyptians, Libyans, Romans, Cretans, Arabians, and Elamites.
But none from England!
And everyone could hear their own language being spoken.
It was very confusing.
So some said they must be drunk. So Peter stepped forward to speak to the crowd.
It's only 9 in the morning. He said, we're not drunk.
No, all this is happening just as the prophet Joel said.
He said there will come a day when there will be
visions and prophecy,
not just for a few,
but for men and women, sons and daughters, boys and girls,
even on slaves.
Even on slaves.
and there will be signs of fire and mist and darkness and noise.
For it is the great and glorious day of the Lord.
And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
And that was the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. David and I did quite a bit of conversation and planning for this service. We were out to discover the one thing we didn't mention, which was this. I was going to talk about birthdays. He's stolen my thunder. So have we discovered there's nobody here with a birthday today? You've got a birthday. Fantastic. It was. I'm sure somebody would have a birthday. 21? 21. Congratulations. Have you had any gifts yet? Are you prepared to share anything about one of the gifts you got? I'm sorry, I can't hear. I'm going to come closer.
I got a neat new bear.
Right.
China one for my son and some blue.
Wonderful. Some China ware, a bear. China bear, yes? From your son. Wonderful. We like getting gifts on our birthday. It's one of those things we look forward to. I'm getting easier to buy birthday presents for, just for your information. Socks are fine. As long as they come with an Amazon token, that's even better. But as we've already discovered, we're all celebrating a birthday today. This is the church's birthday, and it's marvellous. Pentecost Sunday, the church's birthday, and the Bible reading we've just had tells us about the birth of the church, the point when the believers of Jesus went out to start telling other people the good news of Jesus. Pentecost. 50 days after Easter, Jesus had died, he rose again, he ascended. And what we discover is his followers, did you hear where they were? They were together in a room. Some people have suggested it might have been the upper room where Jesus had done the Last Supper. It might have been the same room where Jesus had appeared to them after he had died and rose again. Could be. Doesn't matter whether it's true or not, but they were gathered together. They were sort of lost, lacking direction. They knew they had to wait for something, but nothing had happened. They were gathered in one place. And then their gift arrives. I'll talk more about the gift in a moment, but I just want to go down a slightly different track. I want to introduce you to this person. He's a Catholic cardinal called, well, I'm going to say Van Thuyn, but it's a Vietnamese name, so it could be Thuyn, it could be something else, I'm not sure. I read about him in a book that Justin Welby has written recently. Now, Van Thuyn was locked up in Vietnam because he was a priest by the communists many years ago. He spent a long time in solitary confinement. And he kept his faith alive by saying the Mass every day, by saying the communion every day. But he had no bread, he had no wine or anything like that. He simply managed to save one grain of rice and a little sip of water or a little sip of rice vinegar or rice wine. And with those two simple elements, he would celebrate the Mass every day. And he sustained his faith over many years when he was locked up. He was eventually released and he went to Rome. And Pope John Paul II had him do some writing and some thinking. Now, I think had I been through that sort of experience, I'd have been fairly battered. Not this gentleman. He wrote in the most glorious terms about God. And in a sense, quite a shocking way, he said this. What he loved most about God was God's faults. What he loved most about God was God's faults. And the faults he was thinking about was his ludicrous over generosity. And all he could see through his life of following Jesus was the sheer generosity of God, pouring blessings on him left, right and centre. And when I started thinking this through, I think I saw what he meant. And maybe this Pentecost Sunday we need to think about our God being just overly generous in every respect. If you take the story of the wedding at Cana in Galilee. You remember the story, Jesus attended a wedding, they ran out of wine, somebody sidled over to him and said, can you help out? And he said, well, get some jars of water, fill them with water, and he turned them into wine. We know the wine was the best wine anybody had ever taken. But if you read the gospel story, you discover that those jars were enormous. This wasn't just a cup or two of wine, a bottle or two. This was gallons and gallons of wine. It was symbolic of God's generosity. If you take Jesus speaking to 5,000 people, and it comes evening time and people are hungry, and people are not sure where their next meal is coming from, and he takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he performs a miracle which allows all 5,000 people to eat, well, that would be a miracle enough, except we are told there were 12 baskets left over. That is the generosity of God. God doesn't stop at the simple things. God pours out his blessings and his goodness on us in ways we cannot even imagine. So when we come to the Pentecost story and the arrival of the gift is not the wind. It's just a sign that God's present. The gift isn't the tongues of flame. That's again a symbol that God is here and something big is happening. The gift is God's Holy Spirit being poured out on his people. And you hear there was a commotion. And there was a noise and people started talking. And the event was so great they broke out of the room and they went into the streets. And people were attracted by the noise. What's going on? Why can we understand? And do you remember in the reading we heard all the places people came from? If you plot them on a map, it looks like the points of a compass. In Jerusalem that day, there were people from north, south, east and west. All sorts of different mother tongues. And yet they could all hear the good news of Jesus being spoken by the followers. And Peter gets his opportunity to stand up and he explains very, very clearly what has happened. No, they're not drunk. This is God's Spirit working within them, giving them the ability to talk, giving them the willingness and the desire to tell other people. All right, some of them didn't get the message, but we are told at the end of that day, 3,000 people were added to their number. If you consider that it started with a little room full of people, I don't know, a couple of dozen people, and it ended up with 3,000 people believing, God's generosity overspills again. God's generosity is there for all to see. So this Pentecost, I want to remember that we worship a generous God, a God who gives gifts to us and blessings to us more than we can ever imagine. A number of members of St. John's Church have been involved in Thy Kingdom Come. Churches all around the country, churches all around the world have taken part. And at the heart of it has been people praying that other people might know God, might know Jesus, might follow. And we've been encouraged to follow. If you've been doing that, that's great. If you've not been doing that, it's not too late. We have an opportunity to pray that the good news of Jesus is spread far and wide. And that fits in with our Pentecost gift. The gift to all of us is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that lives in us in order that we can tell other people about the good news. And if you think, I'm not sure about the quality or the quantity of this gift, Paul makes it clear in Ephesians, where he says this, I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers. It is the same wonderful power he used when he raised Christ from death. Isn't that astonishing? The gift that God gives each one of us, the power that God gives us, is exactly the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That Spirit of God is open to all believers. And I think if we really understood that, we'd be able to do so much more. Because we have a ridiculously generous God who wants to give us the very, very best in order that we serve him. Because we have some fantastic news to share about the fact of the love of God. God loves us to bits. God wants us to follow him and he wants to give us blessings through his Spirit. So our prayer for ourselves and our prayer for each other today and this week is that we go out and we share the good news with others in the power of that Spirit. Amen.